carrying this program. Satellite Time is brought to you by Superstar, Netlink, Turner Vision. Their phone number is 1-800-395-9557.
That's
there
right.
There you go. Now we're done. Daryl,
yes, don't forget it, Daryl.
Thanks. I'm going back to sleep.
Go back to sleep, yeah.
Why couldn't you just done that and left me alone?
Poor Daryl, I don't think I'm
going to
sleep.
I was going to say, that was almost easier than running the tape.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, the MP3, but yeah. This is now the third hour of Tech This for April 29, 2005. We're speaking with a bunch of dudes from Asterisk/Digium.
I think I might have gotten 3 hours of sleep last night.
Well, Daryl. See, Daryl, that's what happens when you stay up really late reading stories and chatting on
MSN.
Yeah,
I don't know what he does till like noon.
Well, and the thing is, you know, most people go, "Wait, you mean you were up to noon? You were up till noon? Well, then that, you know, that's not too bad. You went to bed really early. Noon's not bad." No, see, for geeks, noon is like 3 a.m. for you normal people. Noon is like, you know, the dead of night for us. You know, why would anyone want to be up at noon? That's just too early.
Yeah, I don't want to see light or anything. We are in the IRC at irc.dishnuts.net, and the room is Pound Wookie, W0KIE, for the general chat, and Pound Questions, 4 questions, and if anybody has any, now's the time to kind of
get them in there.
Yeah, because we're going to have to let these guys go shortly. And if you want to give us a call, looks like our main line is open at the moment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In fact, REC sort of sneaked out. He's like, he private messaged me and said, "Hey, can you turn me down so that I can hang up?"
I told him to tell you that because he told me that. He says, "I'm going to hang up. You know, you maybe can turn the line down." And I said, "I don't have control."
Didn't even give you guys a good goodbye.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to give us a quick call, they can do that a couple of ways. 888-350-2398. 888-350-2398. Or area code 309-837-3400. And if you have any other questions there, Bob here in Macomb, you can give us a call. I hope we answered your questions you emailed me. So.
Yep. And, of course, if you are in Macomb, you only need 837-3400 to do that.
That's right. Yep. But, if you guys, I guess we can continue on for a little bit, but I know you guys are going to have to go. I tell you, this has been kind of cool because I've learned some things.
We've had.
And a couple of websites that I haven't heard about. And if you guys want to give us any additional sites for learning more about Asterisk or where to get it and all that stuff.
And seriously, before I fell asleep, I was fine.
Oh, don't worry about it, Daryl. I remember when I was at the NFB convention recording all their lectures and stuff for them to put on their website. They were talking about vocational rehabilitation and careers in the blind industry, and I fell asleep, and I was really interested, but I fell asleep, and some guy came out of the audience and walked up to the booth, and he went, "Hey, you're snoring." "Huh? What? Huh? Oh, sorry." It was embarrassing. So don't worry about it. But yeah, it'd be really cool to figure out, some of the weird quirks and quarks with Asterisk, like the whole audio interrupt. Yeah, see a little example of why. I don't know why it does that.
File in the chat room was asking if there was any kind of encryption in place for these calls, I guess, if I'm scrolling
back. Yeah, could you, like, set up a cryptophone for Asterisk? How hard would that be?
They said something about you could.
We definitely have X2 encryption in process right now. Right now, you could sort of call it Crashterisk, but we're working on that.
Okay.
Crashterisks, yeah.
Yeah, but
there are some of the other protocols that do support encryption as well. There is an encrypted version of, there's encryption for SIP. There's also encryption for RTP, which is the portion of the SIP call that actually carries the audio. Neither of those are supported in Asterisk right now, although there is definitely some interest in getting them there. Right now, people that really, really want to do encrypted voice over IP will just run it over some sort of tunnel, whether that's IPsec or some other open source tunneling protocol, and go on from there.
Now, we were talking about being able to tap Asterisk phone calls and whatnot, and I was actually doing something else, so I didn't get a chance to say what I thought immediately when you talked about that. There's a program out there called Kane, and it will look, it's a packet sniffer, I believe, and what it does is it looks for certain types of packets on your network, and when it sees VOIP packets, you know, when it sees like a certain codec being used, it will record your Skype or your Asterisk phone calls and save them to WAV format. Were you familiar with that particular program?
We do know they're out there.
Mm-hmm. I've played with that, and I was unable, using that code when I made calls, SIP calls, from my house to my office here. I and maybe it's just how I was running it, but I couldn't. I mean, it saw that there was a SIP call, but it did not seem capable of decoding the RTP part of it. So, I mean, I don't doubt that they work, but I wasn't able to get the one that I saw on the mailing list to work after a couple hours of fiddling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but
cool.
It is a fact that if you don't know what you're doing and you're on an insecure network, somebody who knows what they're doing is basically welcome to capture all that RTP and play it back whenever, wherever they want to.
Yep. It's just
it's a little scary, actually.
Very much like the Internet in general, that it's not very secure.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Within
Asterisk itself, we do have, well, at least in the development version, not in the stable versions, but in the development version, we have an application written by one of the community Asterisk developers called Chan Spy, which literally allows you to spy on any channel that's live in Asterisk at that moment. There's a variety of legitimate uses for that, of course. People that run call centers use it to supervise and monitor what their agents are doing and a number of other things. But obviously, if the technology is there, it can be used for any different purpose you like. Obviously, that one, though, requires that you are actually a user of that Asterisk server to be able to do it. You're not going to be able to just be sitting out there on the network with it and use that technology, so...
I don't know how much this is possible. Is there a possibility of making, like, in effect, the opposite of a conference where you would call, say, 100 numbers and kind of tie them together to give them a common message that you needed to give them?
Actually, people use that for conferencing now. I mean, they use conferencing for that now. With Asterisk, there is the ability to... There's a number of ways of initiating calls. Doing it with phones is only one of many, and one of the ways that that can be done is by dropping very simple text files in what's called Asterisk's spool directory to request it to place an outgoing call. And you can tell the other side of that call to go anywhere you want. So, for example, you can create a conference room, place outgoing calls, and when those calls connect, drop them into the conference room. And then after you have made as many of them as you want, you connect to the conference room and play what you want to play to all of those people.
Uh-huh.
And there's a number of different ways that people use that right now.
Is anybody doing anything with text messaging over Asterisk?
Actually, I think there is a bug in a backtracker for it. Wasn't it File that did it?
There's a number of things out there. We do have some very basic SMS support right now. There are one or two companies, I think, now that just within the last few months have announced that they have basically global SMS service. You can set up an account with them and deliver SMS to them, and they can deliver it to hundreds of provider networks around the world. Unfortunately, most of the U.S. cell phone networks do not work for that. And there are some people doing some other interesting things for doing SMS as well. I don't know. Well, of course, you have listeners who are doing radio and many other things. There are these little devices called GSM cell sockets. Mm-hmm. That basically lets you put a GSM SIM card in to give it a personality. But instead of it being a phone, it hangs off of your computer and acts as a modem. And you can then use it to do SMS in and out of Asterisk. You could do it from a terminal program if you wanted to, via a GSM account with any GSM-capable cell phone provider. So there are a number of ways to do that now.
By the way, we have a caller.
I heard the little sound when I joined the conference room, but I'm actually on here now through two separate telephones.
Oh, wow, that's weird.
Hacked up a little thing to show someone something. I don't know whether it's fair or would be interesting to do anything where I demonstrate a little bit of this on the chat room at the same time that we would talk about it, or whether that would be not cool because some people couldn't enjoy what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have another phone call, by the way. Don wants to ask a question real quick, and then if you wanted to demonstrate something, that'd be cool.
Okay, I'll hang up this call, and I'll come over to my other call, and we'll listen to that, and then I'll show you what I just did.
Okay, cool. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thanks. I don't know a lot about what you're talking to. I find it interesting. But am I understanding that Asterisk is mainly for outgoing calls rather than being a utility that would be for, like, incoming calls?
No, if I could answer this, that's exactly what I was just about to demonstrate. Here's how I came in a minute ago. I have an Asterisk server running at home. And the Asterisk server has a card in it that attaches to my two local POTS lines. So while we were doing the station ID back here at the top of the hour, I logged on to the machine that runs my Asterisk server at home, and I changed what it does in response to an incoming telephone call, which normally what it does is I have extensions all over the house, and I have an extension here at work, and when a call comes in on my home line, it rings all those calls. And what I did was, and this is where, for those who are watching on the IRC room, I'll go ahead and paste in the simple little change that I made here. I basically took the line out of my extensions.conf file that causes it, just one second, now I'm working as I talk here. I took out the line that rings my local phones, and I added a line, which I'm going to paste into that chat room right this second. And what that line does, basically, is it tells it that it is going to basically make an EECS connection across here to the Asterisk server running at my college site. And that, in turn, feeds it an extension that goes ahead and makes a connection to this chat room. So what I did was I went over to my desk phone in my office here, and I picked it up, and using the public switch telephone network, I called my home phone, and as it did it, my phone picked up the line, saw that I had programmed it to call across here to the Asterisk server running on campus. It, in turn, saw that that extension was to call up the conference bridge down in Huntsville. And so by calling my phone number in Monon, Indiana, we got onto the conference bridge in Huntsville.
Okay.
So if somebody would like to call my home phone number, you could be in on this call for a second, and then I'll change the dial plan back and then hope you never call me again unless you've got something to say. Somebody want to volunteer? Because you can come right on in here. But see, I did this with my home phone number because only one person could call at a time. I have other lines where it would take unlimited incoming calls, and I was afraid to do that.
I can understand that.
Well, I could do it with my cell phone if you want to send me a private message.
Oh, I don't mind telling you. I mean, if anybody wants to call and chat with me if they're in on this thing, I probably wouldn't mind it. It's 219.
All right, hang on a minute. I got to get out of this menu. All right, 219?
Okay. 219-253.
All right.
8181.
I like that number.
I'm
going to
give
cool.
you a call.
And
okay.
Just tell people like, you know, like phone freaks or people who are into voice over IP stuff, they like to have neat numbers.
It's It's busy.
So now you're on.
Hello. How are you?
Somebody called.
Turn the radio down.
Oh, it's Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie got in. She was fast. Hi, Steph.
This is your WTMV weather, babe. It's raining.
Hey, you beat me. How are you?
Yeah, this is Stephanie who lives here in town. She records the weather for us every day. She records it at home and then FTPs it here to the station, which then puts it in our automation. Yeah. So that's pretty neat.
Okay, so anyway, that's how that works.
Great job.
That's neat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Stephanie. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Bye-bye.
That was cool.
Yes.
So now I think I'll take that feature away from my server.
The question that I was asking and what I was trying to lead to is that, and I don't know if Asterisk would be of any advantage in what I would prefer to do, is create a service where somebody could call in and I could have like six different rooms that you could punch into and get and read an MP3 pre-recorded feed.
Well, I think that's pretty much what REC is doing at the moment, isn't it?
With except the, with, he just he's feeding the stream, isn't he?
Well, at the moment, he's using it to feed streams, but you could have,
oh,
the,
yeah.
you
right,
could have static
files there.
Right, it's
an MP3 player. It has no problem playing a static MP3 file.
Okay,
sure.
you guys might know, and this is something that I'm going to be probably start working on. A certain agency here in Chicago is dropping doing all of the ads for all the different stores. And I'm...
You're telling me the one that used to do it all the time...
Yeah.
Is it went, now that they've got a new owner, is going to change things.
Well, it's not so much a new owner. It was a volunteer organization.
Ah, okay.
But the radio reading service, they only do a portion of, you know, what needs to be done.
Boy, you know,
and I thought this would be possibly.
Oh, I love that idea.
Oh, yeah.
We could go. I could get together with some people that are like, you know, doing some grant writing and start working up.
The Asterisk project would work.
We could call in and do these kind of feats.
The Asterisk project would work fine for this project.
Yep.
I don't know if Mark and the other people really understood what he wants to do, but he would like to have people call in. And be able to listen. He's blind along with a lot of the other people that use a service that's going away in Chicago to read what was it, ads from newspapers and things or
yeah
grocery ads,
yeah. Walgreens, other type.
And you know that type of thing would be cool as a podcast too. That'd be cool to get the local grocery ads
podcast.
Well,
that'd be good, Byron. Except not everybody has computers.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Right, but it could be an addition.
You do realize that there's one little thing that might trip you up a little bit, and that is you're going to have some place to put it where you're going to have a multiple incoming lines to be able to get to that.
Whoops.
Well, not necessarily.
Let me kind of jump in here and try to answer this a little bit, if you don't mind.
Oh, go ahead.
There's two issues there. The first one is something I alluded to earlier. There are providers out there that can get you voice over IP delivered DID numbers with no usage charges.
And that's direct inward dial.
You have to find one with numbers in the area where you are, of course.
He's in Chicago, so
that would be a very difficult thing to do. So obviously you're going to have a high enough speed internet connection for this to work, but you could certainly solve the incoming channel capacity.
Comcast provides that.
The other thing I wanted to mention, which is very, very new. In fact, it's not even in Asterisk yet, but it's very close to getting there. One of our community developers under contract to another company, it's a long story, has produced a new application for Asterisk, which will be going into the development version of Asterisk shortly, which is essentially a dictation machine. You call into it, tell it that you want to record something. It asks you to put in a file name, and then you can record and stop and rewind and erase and write over and review what you're doing and everything else until you are done. So what that would allow you to do is not even have to do MP3s at all. The people that want to record these ads could just be given a phone number and a password to log in with to do the recording into a normal file, which Asterisk could then play back to anybody who wanted to call in. So that could make it very, very simple.
Oh, that is incredible.
Really, oh, I love that.
Yep.
Not to mention, stirring the pot a little bit, that there's also at least two different text-to-speech synthesizers that interface completely well to Asterisk, and so you wouldn't even need a human if you're willing to put up with mechanized speech.
Right.
Except you've still got to sit down and prepare the copy for the text-to-speech reader.
If your newspaper has got a net page that you could harvest with curl or something like that, you can do it that way. We've done that as a proof of concept.
Actually, what you're doing, you know how your newspaper has the flyers in them?
Right.
It's not. It actually would not be printed on the newspaper. You know, whenever your subscription site.
Yeah, he's talking about
right.
the Sunday.
It would be the Sunday supplement type things where you've got your Walmart ads or your, you know,
Right. No, I was just mentioning, though, that if you did have a direct source of that as text, you could feed it into a text-to-speech.
Oh, that's already out there. That's already out there.
Oh, wouldn't that be neat if there was, like, wouldn't that be neat if you could dial a phone number and it would say, you know, please press 1 to listen to the Wookiee IRC chat room, and then you could be listening to the chat room as you're driving around in your car. You may not be able to, you know, interact, but you could listen.
That certainly would be possible. It's one of the speech engines is very, very good, although it costs a little bit of money.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's a couple. There's the AT&T Natural Voices engine. There's the Neo Speech engine, which I love the Neo Speech engine. That thing sounds almost realistic.
Yeah, Aptus has a native interface to Festival.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Festival, yeah. That's cool. I don't know if this one will or not, but that's cool. That is very cool. Now, Don, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm going to drop off. You have answered my question. It looks like that this is something that would be doable in the future.
Well, I have an example of what an asterisk line can do, and you're asking if it can play MP3 files, and I wanted
Well, I know that. I listened to RECnet.
Yep. Well, I wanted to kind of give you an example of something else called Bell's Mind, which this will give you a whole list of different things that asterisk can do that probably aren't in the normal realm of things that it does, but someone's been able to make it do a lot of neat things. So let me...
Okay, I'm going to drop off so I can listen to it on radio because the telephone's not coming through that clear.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Okay. And there he goes. That's Don. And let's see, I'm going to go ahead and dial into... I'm going to dial into the Bell's Mind PBX here and show you all the things it'll do.
This is a private system. You are not permitted to use this system without permission from the system operator.
Yes, we got permission.
Welcome to the Bell's Mind PBX. Operator, no collect charges on third-party bills. Bell for being says it on this number. For Evan Doorbell and Group Bell recordings, dial 1. For Radio Freak America episodes, dial 2. For Binary Revolution Radio episodes, dial 3. To join a conference, dial 6, followed by a 3-digit room number. For Touchtone Decoder, dial 8. For the ANAC, dial 9. To go back at any time, press the pound key.
And if we wanted to listen to an episode of a radio show?
Welcome to the Binary Revolution episode archive.
Just hit
dial 3-digit episode number now. To go back, now playing Binary Revolution radio episode
92.
That voice sounds familiar.
Yeah,
that's Allison.
So that was the Bell's Mind PBX, and if people are curious what the phone number for that PBX is, let's see here. It is 810-223-0003. That's 818-223-0003. And it's a very useful little PBX, and there's so many of these popping up everywhere that provide public services or that are private, and they're just neat.
I can remember a time when there would not have been a 000 anything available out to the public. Those would all be internal telephone company
numbers. That's probably
why
he got it, because it sort of was like a throwback to the internal company stuff.
When I was in Chicago working with Skywarn, which does amateur radio reporting, amateur radio and reporting of weather events, the number to dial in was all, the last four were all zeros. I always thought that was kind of cool.
I love that.
He knew someone at the phone company because he had that number for probably 10 or 15 years or more. He knew someone at the phone company, and I guess he was able to get all zeros.
I just wanted to mention something. When we were talking earlier about how Brian and I were connecting into this conference call in Alabama and that I'm using my Cox cable modem connection here at my house, I've been watching the audio statistics on this channel that I have open to the server in Alabama. Now, obviously, I don't have zero latency because it's going across the Internet. But even on just a regular home user cable modem connection, and for the duration of this call, which so far has been, 2 hours and 30 minutes?
Approximately, 40 minutes.
Yep.
I have an average of 1.2 milliseconds of jitter.
Wow, that's not bad.
This is essentially like being there.
Yeah.
There's been no problems the whole time, and this has been 2.5 hours over the public Internet.
I'm doing the same from where I'm at.
That's astounding.
Well, if I can get Asterisk to run on a laptop and either have a soft phone on the computer, or you know, bring a little wireless thing to hook up to the laptop, that'd be so neat to, like, you know, go to friends' houses or go to Wi-Fi, and if I need to do some business, I can just turn on the laptop and set it aside or work on it and take phone calls while I'm there. I mean,
yeah, you can announce your presence when you get there, and then your home phone calls will ring right there at your laptop.
And in fact, the cool thing is if you had a laptop running Asterisk and let's say you had a Wi-Fi card plugged into the side that was acting as an access point, then you could take that YSIP phone with you in a laptop and then just roam around the location you happen to be.
Yeah, just roam around the coffee shop, you know.
Been there and done that. It works perfectly as long as you've got a good enough laptop that you don't have the interrupt troubles that we talked about earlier tonight, because you can still, if the wireless access point is carrying much traffic, you may have trouble, you know, depending on exactly what all you're doing on the computer.
That is so cool. I think Byron's grabbing the phone. I think we've got to have a phone call here. In fact, it's coming in on our toll-free line. And then I'm assuming you guys are going to have to go. Like I said, we could easily just sit here and take questions all night long.
Yeah.
The show is 4 hours, but I know you guys do have a life.
Yep.
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 Of course, some people might say you don't. But
a what?
where can we download that?
Where can we download it? Yeah.
Yeah.
What I want to know, you know, I really want to thank you. You know, even as we speak, I want to thank you for coming on with us and being so helpful.
Definitely.
So this has been very interesting.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
Definitely, definitely.
By the way, we have Joe on the phone, and Joe's got a few basic questions because he's, you know, like a lot of our listeners who haven't even played with Asterisk yet. He's just totally lost, and he wants to ask a few questions if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hello there.
Just a couple of questions. First of all, I probably couldn't have access to this because I am totally blind and I use a screen reader.
Actually, Jeff Shang has an Asterisk box running, and he's got text-to-speech on his Linux box. So absolutely, you could do this. It's all text-based. So if you had a Linux machine, you could do it.
Okay, but you can't do it with Windows, though, right?
At the moment.
Well, they have a Windows port, but it kind of sucks.
It's less than successful, let's say.
Okay.
Well, it's less than optimal. I wouldn't say less than successful, but less than optimal in terms of the platform.
Okay.
Also, if you use this, will this circumvent you having to have a long-distance carrier?
Well, you can certainly set it up to use. It depends. If you have a number of people who you talk to all the time who have any kind of voice over IP capability, you could all join Free World Dial-Up, and then you would completely, you know, use that as opposed to any long distance. So it could is the answer. It depends on how you'd want to configure it.
But it is everyone that has it. In other words, could I call somebody without a computer at all with this? There's not. You can't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but you have to have someone who serves as what we call an internet telephone service provider who would take the call over the internet and then switch it onto the PSTN, because if they don't have a computer at all, then they're going to have to use regular old TDM telephony, and so you'll need someone to gateway that for you. And since I've been chastised for talking about money, it's really, 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 really cheap. I mean, pennies a minute.
So then it would take my computer and someone else's computer in between who I was talking to on the phone, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But you could call someone without a computer by letting one of the telephone service providers be that other computer, and then they would connect you then to the person on the TDM network.
Okay. How much does this I guess you can't really, never mind. You can't really say how much it costs.
Not on the air.
Well, it's free.
It's basically free.
I mean, you can pick the, it's software, basically.
Okay.
And it's open source, so it doesn't cost anything.
I mean, you could add hardware that costs a certain amount of money, to make things a little more usable, but it's not necessary.
And
not at all.
Use this, it's like, say, if I wanted to try this tomorrow, I can't do it with. Can I do this without going out and buying hardware or not?
Yep.
Yes,
you can.
Download it. Asterisk.org.
Okay. And I don't need to go out and buy any hardware.
You wouldn't, but you would kind of have a problem if you don't have an extra computer, because basically if you're going to want to run Linux and you don't have a Linux system set up, that's kind of a limitation at the moment for you.
So you really should have a computer that you dedicate only to this, correct?
I think that's a good piece of advice there.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, that pretty much leaves me out right now. But thank you. I appreciate the that's one of the big questions that you really have to know, because people would might try to put this on their computer.
Well, it's not that it couldn't be done. It could.
Right. And, of course, it can be put on a very, very minimal computer, such as these little WRTs, which, are basically, they don't cost like computers. They cost more like some very, very, very low-end consumer appliance.
Oh, I mean, I went to Goodwill once, and see, I can mention a price here because, I'm not buying a computer that anybody can go out and get from any Goodwill. It depends on how lucky you are at finding a cheap computer. But I got a computer for $1 at Goodwill once, and I was going to use that as an Asterix box, but unfortunately, I ended up giving that computer to somebody else, and man, I kind of after giving the computer away, I'm like, man, I could use that for Asterix.
I want to get off here, but I want you to explain something when I get off. In many big cities, there are a number of hand places
you can get computers. So,
I have a computer running on one of my sites that cost me under $3. So I hope, and it was a thrift store purchase.
Cool.
I've actually got one running that I picked up on the street in New York City. Just walking down the street, somebody thrown it out, and it was perfectly good, and I've got Asterix running on it as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, psst, you want to buy a computer?
Someone on here, I think, said they need to go.
I think it's Joe.
I don't want to keep your phone bill running, but I want you to explain something, so I'll get off the air, and you can explain it on the phone, on the radio, if you could. This might sound like too basic a question, but... could you explain briefly how this is different than Skype? And I'm going to get off the air and just listen.
Okay. Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Quite a bit different.
Oh, yeah. There's a world's difference.
Who wants to do it?
Oh, Mark's been quiet. Let's let him do it.
Well, I had to replace Mark. He's gone. So I'm his substitute.
Matt?
This is Matt.
Hey, Mark, too.
Anonymity. And I'm going to just say I'm Matt of the several of Digium. Skype is more, for one, it's closed, and so nobody can know what's really going on back there. And Asterisk covers the entire gambit of telephony. We support everything, and we can pretty much do anything. I guess that's the simplest way to explain it. Anybody else want to elaborate on that?
The biggest thing is Skype. Skype is designed to connect individual endpoints together over the internet. Whether that's you and your sister 1,000 miles away or whatever it is, it's not designed to do anything beyond that. Probably there are applications where people have used it for more than that, but you are limited by what they support because, as Matt mentioned, it's an entirely proprietary and closed system. The Asterisk software could be used to do that. You actually don't even need Asterisk to do only that. For those of you that have tried some of the free soft phones, which are, X-Lite and Firefly and some of the others, you and your sister 1,000 miles away could both install X-Lite on your computers and talk to each other for free.
Right, over.
Because you're using internet telephony over the internet.
What
Asterisk gets you is the ability to route calls and handle calls in fancy ways and connect your internet telephony to the traditional telephone network, which of course Skype doesn't do at all, and support many, many, many different kinds of interconnections. As Mark mentioned before, we support every significant IP telephony protocol, and that allows you to use every kind of IP phone pretty much that's out there that isn't a closed product. So there's an enormous amount of flexibility with what you can do.
Can you recommend a soft phone that can work around NAT routers? Because I've tried X-Lite. I have trouble with X-Lite.
Firefly.
Firefly?
Yeah.
Very good one. There's also Eek's phone by Sokol Associates, and then there's Tom for Linux.
Deeks runs pretty well, too, and I believe is Eeks, and so therefore Net Transparent.
Correct.
Yes. There's a number of them.
So Firefly is what a lot of you guys use?
And I haven't even heard of that one before.
Yeah, me neither.
No,
Firefly is from an Australian company. They actually have a commercial version and a free version, much like X-Lite. X-Lite has a commercial version and a free version as well. And the free version of Firefly is pretty nice. I believe it's Windows only. There's no Linux.
Yeah, it is Windows only.
But it is a nice product. Has a very nice user interface. And like we mentioned, it uses the Eeks protocol, which means it's NAT transparent. That most, if you want to connect two Eeks endpoints together and you have NATs in between them, you have to set up one single UDP port forward on your router to allow the incoming call to get to the machine running Firefly, which is tremendously easier than setting up SIP. On the Linux side, there are a number of them as well, and so there's quite a few options. And that VoIPinfo.org website that we mentioned earlier has an entire page about VoIP phones, both hard and soft, and so you can peruse. There must be 30 different soft phones at least listed there. And there, many of them are free to try, if not free to use forever. So.
Okay. Well, that certainly sounds like that should answer at least some questions.
Yes.
And it's getting later, so I expect we should probably let you guys go and appreciate all that you have done for our show.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, before you go,
why don't you guys give us,
you know, some websites, you know, or good starting points and that sort of thing. I'd appreciate that.
Well, voipinfo.org is a very broad and all-encompassing test for most things involving Asterisk. There's also the asterisk.org, which is a documentation project. Asterisk.org is the main project site. Any others?
Well, Digium.com obviously is Digium's website.
Yeah.
AsteriskDocs.org, is that the correct name?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, too.
Mm-hmm. And then there are also forums on the... if you go to Asterisk.org and you go to support, the support section has a link to our IRC channel, our forum...
Mailing list.
Our mailing list. How to get in touch with Digium for support.
Be careful on the mailing list. The users list, I believe, is running about, 350 to 400 mails a day right now.
Oh, cool.
On a busy day, it can be at least 300 messages on the users mailing list, yes.
Yeah, so
The users IRC channel typically has 250 people in it, and it can be very busy as well.
Does your mail list have a digest mode?
Yes.
All mailman mailing lists, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess if that's it, Mark wanted me to give the webcam site, but after that, we'll just probably lose all the voice quality. We only have half a T1 here, a Digium, for data.
I can see why you wanted to give it at the end, so when you guys dump off the conference, you at least got that bandwidth. That makes sense.
Right.
Yep.
The connections that
Brian and I are using to Alabama right now, I know I'm using GSM. I presume you are as well, Brian.
Mark asked me to use ULAW. I came in first using ILBC, and then I moved to ULAW. So I am on a fat pipe right now.
Okay, so he's using approximately 80 kbits per second. I'm using about 30.
Uh-huh.
And so realistically, even that is a fraction of half of a T1. It's 20% or so, 10% or so, but still, it's amazing what can be accomplished using these protocols over a very small amount of bandwidth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must say I'm impressed. It
yep.
certainly sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just I think you guys are onto some interesting stuff, and I hope you all follow up on it, because it really is kind of a life-changing experience to realize that you don't have to really have the phone company, and that a few years down the road here, we're not going to have a phone company anymore, not like we know it now.
That's true. That's the thing that I think is the most interesting, because, again, you can, in effect, have the phone company right at your house.
Oh, and this
your
scares
phone company. Yeah.
This scares the hell out of the phone company. You know, they're looking at VOIP, and they're going, oh, my God.
Well,
all of our secrets are out in public now.
I don't think they care about the secrets. I think they care about their revenue. You know,
right.
Their cash cow is about to roll over on its back.
I do want to thank you guys' vision and that for the fact that this is open source, because, God forbid, if the phone company lobbies, you know, government to make this sort of thing go away, being that it's already out there, it's not going to go away easily.
That's correct.
And that's the nice thing. In fact, it's open source. It's out there.
Thank Jeff Pulver as well for this, because if he hadn't done what he's done pushing this with the FCC, we would very, very, very well possibly now be facing all kinds of regulatory stuff, because the telcos all know what we're on to now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had him on, and we're going to have him on again maybe in a month or two after we get some trips out of the way we're going to have. And definitely, we'll let him know what you guys are saying. I'm sure he knows it, but
he does know. Yep.
We've had Jeff on before.
Yep.
And we'd like to have you guys on at least once in a while. And if you guys, you know, have you know new releases, or you just want to, you know, get the word out there about something, feel free to use us.
Right. Breaking news of any sort, feel free to let us know, and we'll pass the message along.
Yeah, and if you guys want to hang in our IRC channel, feel
join
free
there
to stick around. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And did you guys give us all the websites that you were going to give us?
Well, I think we got them.
I guess we need the webcam.
And I did have a request when I've talked to your to I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, the lady that I talked to help set this thing up. She wanted a copy of the audio of this. If you would give Dwayne all the information offline as to how I can get that to her, we'll do that.
Yeah, once we can, you know, get her an archive of the show, you know, FTP or DCC or however you guys want it. We can do that.
Okay.
I'm radio dude in the chat.
Okay. I'm probably the only one that's still on here that has her contact information, and I'm not on your IRC channel. Matt or Brian, would you give one of them my email address offline?
Sure.
And
then they can just email me directly.
I'm in the chat room. I'm radio dude, so.
Okay.
But I think he was pointing out he isn't, so.
Yeah, but he
the other guy that is.
Oh, so. The other guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And I think we're going to get we were going to get a website to play with a cam for a little bit.
Okay, marcocam.net, and there's a fully controllable camera to Mark's office, and you can enjoy the Digium all-nighter and steal all of our bandwidth.
Yeah, when are you guys going to open up the microphone, you know, so we can hear all the audio of you guys coding?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you can call into Digium over Eeks on our guest accounts and ring all the phones here if you want to try. Every default Asterisk install has a direct connection to Digium's phone lines to call for support and talk to us and have a nice fun chat.
Cool.
So, you guys have a nice night.
Thanks for
calling. What was Marco, M-A-R-C-O? Or
M-A-R-K-O.
I think it's K-O.
K-O.
K-O, okay.
Isn't there a hyphen in there, too?
No hyphen. MARKOCAM.net.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thanks
well,
a
thanks
lot.
For joining us. We'll have to do it again soon, and we appreciate it. And we'll have fun with Asterisk as soon as
Thank
we can
you.
Get it going.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. See you, Kevin.
Now, there you go. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Yes, that was a cool call.
Yep.
I'm sorry I missed 20 or 30 minutes of it.
You'll have to listen to the
Oh, I wanted to rip you so bad and say, oh, yeah, guess what? Well, you know, when that lady called, guess what Daryl was doing?
Well,
man.
That was fun.
That was cool.
Yep.
And if anybody wants to ask any questions that didn't get answered on the air, if you're listening to a replay or whatnot, you can visit Digium's website, Digium, Digium.com, and there should be all sorts of answers there. You can email them or call them for some support. They'll be doing some all-night coding, so they've got the Mountain Dew and Jolt Cola out, and... you know, they might be checking their email throughout the night. So
I'm sure they're not listening to the show, or I would play that. I would play that.
Oh, you never know, Daryl. They might, if they're going to be coding
thing.
All night long, if they're going to be doing an all nighter coding and stuff, they might need something to stimulate their brains.
The
yep. So they could be.
Yeah.
We had a pretty darn good number of people in the chat room tonight. I was rather pleased about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really weird, Daryl? One night, a couple of weeks ago, we had like 73 listeners.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it that high.
No, it was awfully high a couple of weeks ago.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it shows that we're ever expanding because we never had that 5, 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, think of all the new people just over the last year that are in the IRC. Let me just go through the list here. There's Dianora. She wasn't here like a year and a half or two years ago. Hannah. Let's see here. There's Geoff. He's new. Charles. Dogbert. I think Dogbert's new as well.
I think Dogbert's been around, and Dogbert left us for a while and came back, is what I think.
Hyper Eye is new. At least I think he is. I don't know who that is. Lee is new.
Oops, I forgot to hang up the conference.
Whoops. What does it sound like? Aw.
I guess when everybody disconnects, it just goes to some sort of music on hold or something.
A lot of them do that.
Yeah.
There's Chris, the Mad Link uplinker.
So I'm going to go ahead and disconnect from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots and lots of new people that never used to be here about a year ago.
That's true. Obviously, REC.
REC is an example. In fact, it is weird because Battery Man knows REC.
Yep.
And Battery Man gave us his contact information, and you guys apparently had him on the air while I was out with my girlfriend, and... After REC heard the show and got interested, you know, he's been, if you go to recnet.com, there's all sorts of Wookiee references there now. And it's so weird
to see
you know, somebody who's sort of high profile in the tech industry or the LPFM area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone like REC is sort of high profile in the fact that he gets a lot of visitors to his website. And it's cool now. He's hanging out, you know, with us weirdos.
Yep.
And there's Daryl's new friend. Ethan just joined the
channel. Just joined. Yep.
Yeah, hi, Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan, if you weren't listening earlier, you just missed a geek fest.
No, he's been listening. I've been talking to him in MSN.
Yeah, wow. Daryl's abandoned the IRC for MSN.
Well, I think what we need to do is port IRC, you know, MSN into IRC so that
let's
we get Ethan in
there. Let's just not say the bad words of that other program, the one that kind of combines the two or combines.
Oh, please.
There's like a couple of them out there that have decided to try and be your one-stop shop. Yeah, Rob mentions one of them, Trillion. You know, it's like they combine 37
wasn't
different
she
chat
in,
protocols.
Wasn't she, a character in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Which started today, the movie. I did check our local theater. They don't have it yet. So hopefully they'll get it in a few weeks.
Oh, I definitely want to see that. I don't care if it's
I would too.
Bad or not. I definitely want to see it.
Yeah, I think
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy started today. I don't know what theaters. But
I wonder if it's time to make a trip to like Peoria. You know, find a movie theater nearby that's showing
it.
Well, you should check with Larry and see if he's going to be getting it and when.
Yeah, you know.
No, I need to check with Larry and tell him to get it. Yeah.
Well, there's that. Exactly.
I think maybe what I'll do is call him while we're on the air and ask him and see if he can tell me the answer to that.
Now, to some degree, I think since they have to work through a certain, you know, I think
distributor.
I don't think they can necessarily get everything. But
well, he's probably going to have a bigger chance of getting it now than he did, say, six or eight months ago.
He's got a better chance of getting it than the other theater.
Because the other theater's gone.
Exactly.
It's gone.
He does listen once in a while, so Larry, if you're listening, try.
Yep.
Yeah, we definitely want to see
Would he
that.
Be Larry the movie guy?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Larry the movie guy, yeah.
Well, I'm calling right now. I'm going to ask if he'll join us on the air.
Yike.
What do you mean, call him?
Uh-huh.
He's calling the theater?
I assume he's calling the theater.
Wouldn't it just go, hi, this is movie phone, press...
It depends on the theater. Some are more automated than others.
We are still in the chat room, still at 50 entities. Earlier it was at 51 or 53 or something, which is still good.
That is amazing.
Even though a couple of them are, you know, multiple personalities.
Yeah, I mean, just because there's five radio dudes in there, you know, or whatever...
File left the questions room, and Blair goes, hey, someone recovered that lost file.
I never even got into the questions room. I'm stupid. Oh,
well, you know, it was interesting. It was a good idea that semi-failed because, good thing I was logging it, there was, like, conversations. My point was I created it more of a notepad, go there, drop a question in, and I can go scroll by it later. But conversations happened. question scrolled by. And
oops, so I didn't. Might as well have left.
Well, it was a little bit better than Pound Wookiee in that it kept the some
well, at
of
least
the
at least maybe it stayed up. It stayed a little more on topic, hopefully, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't, and it wasn't meant to take people away because I was like, oh, there's stuff going on over here. That wasn't the point, but
yeah.
It did help some. Someone says, hey, you should just use Notepad, and I said, that's why I created the channel.
Yeah.
Because I could have done that. I could have created Notepad and then copied stuff out of Wookiee.
Yeah, that would have been much more work for you to.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, if something scrolled by, I wouldn't see it to copy it.
Right.
So it did help. Yeah, it did help some. So
that's
it was still it wasn't a total disaster.
Of course, we should remind the listeners that if they do want some of the specific information, a lot of it will be at in the show notes section.
Yeah,
of
right now my show notes consist of like one link, but since I have the logs, I'm going to go back and at least take the links and and drop them in there. And of course, we'll have the archives for the shows later on for this show.
Yep.
If you want to hear, it was interesting. We certainly veered all over. I like the fact that they are actually teaching a course in that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And when I talked to him about it a couple minutes before we went to starting the show, I'm like, I know where that area is. He goes, Northwest Indiana. I'm like, well, my sister lives in Hammond. And he goes, well, it's south of that. And he's like down I-65. I said, well, I used to live in Lowell. He goes, well, it's a college south of that. And I said, oh, St. Joseph and Rensselaer? And he's like, yeah, that's where it is. So, the same school that Ted Novak went to. And
oh, cool.
And one or two others.
Ted just got married.
Yep.
For anybody who cares.
Yeah.
I know that because I listen to WGN and there's he's the traffic reporter on Steve and Johnny.
And he lives in like Crown Point, Indiana, so he still lives over kind of in that area.
Uh huh.
Renee says it was Ted. He is the overnight traffic guy on Steve and Johnny show on WGN. Has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Right.
Ah. File rejoined the questions room and he goes, oh no, I've been recovered. File found.
He's the 404th entity to be in there. Final.
Okay, Tunisan does point out that the Hitchhiker's Guide is at the Edgewater in Pekin.
Cool.
Or, no, I guess that's the address. Anyway, it's the show place, 14, in Pekin.
Uh-huh.
So that's at least one place.
That's not that far from Peoria.
No.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I got Larry on the phone. Hi, Larry.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi, hey, Larry.
How you doing?
This saves me from...
We're doing all right. How about you guys?
Well, not bad. This saves me from bugging you Sunday.
Okay. That's true, but that's all right. I don't mind to be bugged.
We want to see Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So when are you going to get it?
Well,
it
doesn't look good.
Uh-oh.
I'm afraid.
Uh-oh.
So
do we have to work out a special WT&D screening? You know, like midnight where we show up. And
so like Larry gets the DVD and he sticks it, you know, in the player and projects it over the screen somehow.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how you're gonna do it.
If you'd like, since it was out today, we probably could download it and burn it. And
Yeah, that's it. Much better
you than me. Thank you very much.
So is that how you're gonna screen the UHF thing? Are you gonna run it on Friday nights, say 7 o'clock? You know, just stick the DVD in there and throw it on the big screen.
I don't have the equipment for that just yet.
Oh man.
So, yeah, I know. Everybody's waiting for all the digital to go down, but I think it's still got a few years yet.
It probably does.
No, seriously, I assume you have you can't get the rights to it or something.
What's that?
The Hitchhiker's Guide movie.
No. Well, there's a couple of reasons. They decided that, and the company has been, you know, trying to get more family PG, you know, PG-13 type stuff. But the consensus was that this movie was actually going to upset more of the, the ones that are just gaga over the book series.
So basically you're going to have an uprising from
the fan community. So they're saying that the fan base isn't going to like it, and therefore they're not going to run it.
Well, that's one of those reasons. I mean, that, and they just, as a movie itself, they said it really didn't, I mean, of course, they had a screening of it a couple of weeks ago, and they weren't real thrilled with real thrilled with it themselves.
Oh, I see.
Like I said, there was one, like I said, they add a new character that wasn't even in the book.
Yeah,
I think I noticed that when I was looking at IMDb. I said, hey, who's that? I don't
remember
that character.
It's John Malkovich.
Oh, gosh.
Who plays this new character, kind of a guy who they I mean, it sounds funny, and it probably fits in fairly well movie-wise, but... Like I said, people were like, wait a minute, you know, that are dyed-in-the-wool fans are going, where'd this character come from?
Right, the purists are going to be upset.
Now, the thing is, did Douglas Adams write that character in? Because if it was
not
a Douglas Adams
as far
thing.
As anybody knows.
Okay.
Like I said, he was working on it when he passed away in 2001. But, like I said, and they actually give him the writing credit and a producer credit, of all things.
Oh, God, the movie was so bad it killed him.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. He was an odd duck if ever there was one. Anyway, I mean,
oh,
just
absolutely.
To write those kind. I mean, you know, for a trilogy to be like four or four and a half books long.
Would you believe six books?
Yeah. I think there was actually six total, but yep. You know, it just they were very offbeat and off key. So,
oh, yes.
But like I said, it's they just thought that, you know, that especially with school getting close to getting out. That the students would be more interested in, you know, the action stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, like
so
I said.
You know, and I also had heard that apparently they took a lot of the comedy out of the movie.
Well, they took a lot of the comedy out from the books out of it and put in their own.
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of thing. So that's why they thought, well, you know, for the guys who have, you know, really liked the style of the books, all of a sudden they're going, wait a minute. You know, what's going on here?
Well, this is an interesting... point that you said, because when I was perusing some forums or whatever that were talking about, well, they took this movie and they really did a number on it. Hollywood took it and just ruined it. So that's an interesting.
Well, like I said too, and it might have been a new version or a new vision that Adams was trying to come up with, you
Could
know,
be.
to make it. But like I said, it's like I said, and I'll admit I've been a fan of the books more by their titles than I have by the actual reading of them. But
uh-huh.
In fact, I still use, when I'm wanting to dedicate something to somebody, I just say, so long and thanks for all
the
fish.
Yes.
Well, we happened to be at a buffet last night that had fish and
walleye.
Basically did end it that way.
Yeah, we said that when we left.
Uh-huh. Oh, great. No, like I said, that's all right, you know, but... But like I said, so they weren't real thrilled that the movie money wise was gonna, you know.
I'll bet you it will do quite well once it turns into a DVD.
Oh well, of course, yeah. I mean, then you can dissect it, and they can probably add more. And like I said, this was Disney's attempt to, you know, they were thinking too, you know, that it's another franchise. You know, because of all the other books, although that's another thing I've heard, they kind of like the Dune movie. I don't know if you remember that, where they all of a sudden bring in stuff that was like in book three or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's sort of like the Lemony Snicket movie that you guys had a couple months ago.
Yeah, where they combined three out of the whatever nine books or whatever.
Yeah.
Although I think they did a fine job as far
absolutely.
As I was concerned.
But if you've read the books, you go, wait a minute, this never happened in the book, or this happened some other place in the book.
Yeah,
I have
well,
to say that I would, you know, as much as I am, you know, I'm a tremendous Harry Potter fan, I was a little disappointed just on the basis that they took so darn much stuff out of the movie compared to what was
in
the book.
Well, and there's still, you know, like I said, and the next one coming up has got even more stuff going to be out of the book because they, you know.
The book was enormous.
Yeah. And instead of, they thought about it one time making it into two movies, like a spring, like Back to the Future, a fall, then a summer release, but they kind of put the kibosh on it money-wise and kid-wise, for that matter.
Yeah,
because Harry's starting to grow up.
Yes.
The guy
who's
playing him.
I was surprised that they hooked him up one more time. Because they were originally scheduled to do three movies. And, I mean, the original cast of kids. So they're all back, but yeah, like I said, you know, see what happens there. But it's,
yeah,
I mean,
this is Friday Night Movie Talk, and we need to hold on because we need to do legal station IDs.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
So if you can hold on there, Larry.
I can.
Larry the Movie Guy will be right back.
We'll be right back.
the voice of McDonough County, WTND LP McComb.
The search for extraterrestrial intelligence, also known as SETI, is not the only group sending signals into outer space. We too are hoping there's life on other planets. From the internet to space, the universe, and beyond, this is the Wookiee Satellite Radio Network, AMC 7, Transponder 5, 7.5 wideband audio. Brought to you by Superstar Netlink Turner Vision. Their number is 1-800-395-9557.
For the best in talk, tunes, and more, this is RFD.
TechNiz, 100% voltage-free radio.
I still love that thing.
And yeah. Welcome to Hour 4 of TechNiz.